Can you recall what happened 3 Sundays ago? I know that's a dumb question. I know that. You are absolutely right, because we left straight after the service, all right? 3 Sundays ago was Pentecost Sunday. And I did series number one, today series number two, 3 weeks later. Subsequently, since 3 weeks later to now, the world was in uproar. Something strange happened on that day on Pentecost, but I don't want us to dismiss strange. Don't dismiss strange and miss out, because we recognize in the Word of God there are many strange incidents. I mentioned a few 3 weeks ago. The strange incidents that we started off with was the Garden of Eden. A serpent, a snake, speaking to Eve. Now, how strange is that? The question we asked then was the serpent crawling, or was the serpent upright? How come it wasn't strange for Eve that a serpent was speaking to her? To us, it's strange. The second strange thing was that burning bush that Moses found in the wilderness. The bush was burning, but not burning. There was fire. There was smoke. Moses found it strange, and he wanted to inquire, and out of the bush there's a voice. Another strange incident in the Word of God. And then, of course, one of the strangest ones, in my opinion, is a donkey speaking to its owner. Now, during our vacation, we saw a number of people speaking to their animals. And the thought crossed my mind, I wonder how many people, or what would they respond if the animal speaks back to them. Because they are conversing with the animal freely, as us animal lovers do. We talk to our animals as if they're kids. And here was a donkey that was speaking to its owner. And I wonder how Balaam felt about this. And then another strange incident is an axe head that got lost in a body of water, and throwing a piece of wood there, and the axe head that is metal comes out and floats on the water. Strange. Don't you think it's strange? Very strange things happen in the Word of God. What about the guy that was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind? I mean, a guy's walking, and all of a sudden, there's a chariot of fire with chariots and horses, and a whirlwind, and a guy's boom, he's gone, Elijah. And Elisha just looks up. Strange. And I thought a lot about that already, about this guy, Elijah, that was taken up by a whirlwind. What kind of body has he got now? It was a natural body when he went up, and yet the Bible says he's coming back again in a natural body. So what's he got up there? I don't know. One more incident found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When Pentecost, the 50th day after the Passover, came, all the believers were together in one accord, in one place. Suddenly a sound like a violently blowing wind came from the sky and filled the whole house where they were gathered and staying. Tongues that looked like fire appeared to them. Strange, isn't it? The tongues arrange themselves. So when does the tongue arrange itself? The tongues arranged itself so that one came to rest on each believer. Another strange phenomena. The Bible is full of this stuff. Don't miss or neglect this stuff. Don't question it, but look what God has got in store for us. Because sometimes you and I can dismiss strange and miss out. And yes, one of those occasions. all the believers that were in this room were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that was promised by God, it would happen. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in other languages. The old King James, tongues. Many old Pentecostals, we speak in tongues, other languages. And they spoke in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. So what does this all mean? After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 50 days we find the day of Pentecost, which was promised to the disciples. It's a new dispensation. The dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, which had rested only on a few people in the Old Testament, is available to individuals now, whoever so wishes. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. Strange. But yet Joel prophesied about it way back in the Old Testament. Strange though. But prophesied in the Old Testament. Because Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So it's valid. It's of God. We can question it. We can look at it as strange. But we can't isolate it as the only strange thing. Because we've just referred to many other strange experiences in the Word of God. Strange though. The birth of the church. That's what it's about. Because Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the Holy Spirit coming is the birth of the church. Amazing. Pentecost marked the founding of that institution. And with the Spirit's outpouring at the conversion and at the conversion of 3,000 people on that day, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got born again. Now, there's a great onslaught, as I've referred to and mentioned many a time, a great onslaught against Christianity. But I don't want you to be dismayed. I don't want you to be discouraged, because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. He will build the church. He is building his church. Many, many in Africa are dying for their faith. Many are being persecuted throughout the world because they call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. We too are going to experience that in our own very country, the US of A. Of course, the church was inaugurated and set in motion on that day, the day of Pentecost. And Jesus, you are my witnesses. You've seen my death. You've seen my resurrection. You've witnessed it. Go tell the people about what you have seen and experienced. In other words, I convinced you of who I am. I've showed you who I am. Now get out, get on with the job, and go make disciples. Get the message of hope and life out. But now we find something else about the strange phenomena that happened on that day. A building of living stones. In other words, God is creating a spiritual house. They were accustomed to a physical temple. But now we find something beautiful in 1 Peter 2 verse 4 and 5. Look at it. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for greater honor. And you are what? So what are you? What am I? What are we? Living stones. Sometimes we act as dead stones, but we are living stones. Look at this. Living stones that what? That God is building into a spiritual temple. Now we have this spiritual temple compared to the old physical tabernacle. And yet the Bible says each of us are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So something strange, something phenomenal happened over here. Phenomenal. What's more, you are his holy priest. In the old time, holy priest one. Now, holy priests everywhere. Through the meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. What are spiritual sacrifices? Worship. We are free to worship him. We can come boldly into his presence because Jesus is alive and he's building his church. And we are those living stones. Whereas the Jewish temple was built of material stones, the church consists of believers in whom God dwells. And this is so strange. Because we do not worship on a mountain. We don't worship in a place of brick and mortar. This is not the church. We are the church. The church is not a denomination. Oh, the Catholic Church is the only church. Really? Oh, the Pentecostal Church is the only. Oh, what about the Methodist? What about the Anglican? What about the Presbyterian? What about the. Surely the Baptist is the only church. No, God's not building denominations. He's building a spiritual house. And here's the spiritual house. Everyone who's put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is part of that spiritual house. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, you realize, don't you, that you are what? The temple of God. Isn't that phenomenal? Don't you find it strange that this can be a temple? And God himself is present in you. The born-again experience is phenomenal. It's strange because that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Because he told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus says, give me a break. How do you expect me to go back into my mother's womb and come out again? He says, I'm not talking about physical birth. I'm speaking of spiritual birth. Natural gives birth to natural and spiritual gives birth to spiritual. So now you and I are spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. Part of the living stones that Jesus Christ is using to build this temple. But with this strange experience, even being born again, as on the day of Pentecost, there comes an assignment. We know we are living stones. We know that we are the temple of God. But with this knowledge and the instructions of the Word of God, there's an assignment. What is this assignment? Matthew 16, verse 15 and 16. Let's briefly look at this assignment. If we are living stones, if we are born again, if we're the temple of God, and we are witnesses different to the witnesses of the disciples, they were firsthand witnesses. But once you and I accept Jesus Christ, we also become witnesses of the power of Jesus Christ in us, from taking us out of darkness into his marvelous light. How do you know you were born again? I was there when it happened. I was there. I know I'm born again because I was there. So I'm a witness of the transformation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. Now I have an assignment. What is my assignment? What is your assignment? What is our assignment? Then Jesus said to them, so wherever you go in the world, tell everyone the good news. Well, what is the good news? You want to have good news? Go to CNN. Yeah, we start. Go to Fox. Newsmax. Go to the Word of God and you will have the good news that's faithful and reliable. And he says, tell everyone the good news. Well, what is the good news? There's salvation for all who want salvation, who call upon the name of the Lord. There's forgiveness of sin. Whoever believes, now notice what it says. Tell everyone the good news. What happens if they don't want to hear the good news? Tell them. Tell them. Well, what happens if they don't believe it? That's not your problem. It's not my problem. Tell everyone the good news. Once people have heard the good news, it's up to them to receive or reject. But you and I have done our job by telling the good news. Don't be ashamed, folks. Don't be ashamed of talking about Jesus. Don't be afraid and intimidated by those that don't believe in Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to proclaim that you're a child of God. Don't be ashamed by saying, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Don't be ashamed of that. It's transformational. Believing in Christ and following Jesus Christ is phenomenal because you've been taken out of darkness into His marvelous light. And more than that, the Bible says your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And more than that, He's coming back for those that love Him. Tell everyone the good news. Whoever believes, doesn't say everybody, whoever believes and gets baptized will be what? So there's a precondition then. I've got to believe to be saved. If I don't believe, I can't be saved. If I believe and get baptized, I follow Christ. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will what? So what do we have? Two different directions. Two different ways. People that dismiss strange, people that accept strange. People that dismiss a strange by being born again, and people that adhere to strange and believe in strange. And I believe it because God said it. God will not lead us astray. The Spirit was outpoured to enable people to evangelize everywhere in power. And before beginning this worldwide operation, this worldwide evangelism, the disciples had to remain in Jerusalem. Because this is what the text says. Go tell everybody. But before they were sent out, they had to remain in Jerusalem for this reason. Luke 24:49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with what? With power from heaven. Boldness if you want to. And we'll look at that in a minute. Concerning the power and the boldness. The endowment came at Pentecost when a great new way of ministry was introduced to mankind. The supernatural power of the Holy Ghost working in and through believers to enable them to lead men and women to Jesus Christ. Didn't they have power before? No, they had authority, not power. Remember in John, I think it's 1:12, check it out and help me if I'm wrong. To those that received Him, to them He gave the authority, the power to become different power, the authority. The power we're speaking of is more boldness to speak out. And of course, it's strange to many people. And those that believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit are called Pentecostals. The Pentecostals are weird. And that's what most of you are. Because we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But yet there's an amount of people, intellectuals, that will say, no, certain gifts are gone. And dismisses the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other languages. But let me share a few things with you. Why is Pentecostalism so popular? At this point in time, over 500 million people are Pentecostals. And it continues to grow and is the fastest organization in the world. The fastest growing organization in the world. Why? We don't know. It's strange because we believe in the gifts, while others say, well, those gifts stopped with the apostles. But it's the fastest growing movement, Christian movement in the world. It has made inroads not only into third world countries, but also we find in America, in Europe. The sad thing is much is emphasized on the tongues or the languages. Where I differ, where within Pentecostalism, I believe it's a different way of living. Being used by God. Being directed by God. But don't we have the power when we accept Christ? No, we have authority to be called children of the living God. And I want us to try in our mind understand the power as boldness when you receive the Holy Spirit. The results of this experience of Peter and those in the upper room that was filled with the Holy Spirit is also phenomenal. Because you and I have studied Peter a little bit. We know that he speaks before he thinks. We know that he makes a fool of himself, which all of us do at times. But there's something that happened on the day of Pentecost with Peter. Remember, Peter had authority because he was a follower of Christ. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, then Peter stepped forward. This is after the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's after the tongues have settled on the people and they all began to speak in other languages. So there were people in the room that did not dismiss that which was foreign, but yet there were people outside that dismissed this as foreign. We don't believe in this stuff, which we have today in any case. I don't believe in that. I don't believe. Be careful before we say, I don't believe. Because you and I can't put God in a box. We cannot contain him. If God can make a donkey speak, if God can allow a serpent to speak, if God can allow an axe head to float, God can do anything. He can do anything. So I've got to the point in my life that I'm very cautious before I dismiss it. Because it's strange. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles. Notice he didn't speak. He shouted. So when he shouted, what happens? There's a boldness that comes to the foreground. And shouted to the crowd. Remember, inside, they did not dismiss the strange thing. Outside, they dismissed it. It became a mockery. And that's why even as followers of God, you at times will be mocked at. You believe in God? You one of those? Yeah, I'm one of those. You read your Bible? Your Bible's outdated. You believe in God? That's old-fashioned. I'm just going to live my life. Sure, go for it, baby. Shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews. There was a crowd there. Shouted to them, and I'm just going to present it to you as we being there. We just got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm coming out and I'm seeing a crowd, and I address the crowd. Listen carefully, all you fellow Jews. and residents of Jerusalem, because they come from all over the world to the Passover. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk. Whoa, clue number one. They're not drunk. So what were they behaving like, those that got filled with the Holy Spirit? Drunk? You all know, and some of you have experienced what a drunken state is like. You do foolish things. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk. Clue one. It was out of the norm what they were doing. It was strange that these people were speaking in other languages, and these people outside could not understand a thing they were saying. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Notice the boldness. As Peter addresses this rowdy crowd, and then from this situation, people got born again. 3,000 got baptized. Another instance. Thousands accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And guess what happened after that? The word of God spread. Boom! And the word of God spread from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And you will not believe it. It has even got to Palma. Wow, took a long time to get here from Jerusalem. But the good news is here too. We've been hearing the good news for a long time. But during this period from the resurrection to the day of Pentecost, these first disciples, please notice this, during the period from the resurrection to the day of Pentecost, these first disciples made what? You agree with that? What impact did they have? No, not much. No. These first disciples made very little positive impact upon the great majority of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. As a whole, during this period, the city of Jerusalem was very little changed or affected by the fact of Christ's resurrection. It almost seems like Christ is virtually dead to many people. So life goes on. Oh, but yet we do find him appearing to a number of people all over. But life went on until the day of Pentecost. And then all of a sudden, life changed. All this was abruptly and dramatically changed by the descent of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. As soon as the 120 believers in the upper room were baptized in the Holy Spirit, the whole of Jerusalem felt the impact. Something they did not experience before. Oh yes, there was a problem, an upheaval about the resurrection. Oh, his body was stolen. Oh, of course, they had to pay the guards to say that. But there wasn't much upheaval as on the day of Pentecost. And after that, because we find on this day, the day of Pentecost, the impact was dramatic. Within an hour or two, a crowd of thousands had gathered, and before the day closed, 3,000 people that kind of mocked Christ accepted Christ as their Savior. Wow! There must have been something in these people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Something was noticeable, but there was boldness you've never seen before. Preaching the word with authority, convincing the people. What produced these dramatic results? Think about it. The same disciples, the same people, the people that had authority. What's the difference? Power was added to authority. Or if you want to, the boldness was added to the authority. Were they saved before? Of course they were saved. They had the authority to be called children of God. So we recognize before the day of Pentecost, the disciples already had authority. After Pentecost, they had authority plus power. They had the power that made the authority fully effective. I want us to look at the outworking of this incident as I want to just wrap it up briefly concerning what happened after this. And as I go to Acts chapter 4, this is after the day of Pentecost, way after now, and between Acts chapter 2 all the way to Acts chapter 17, 18, there's almost a 30-year span. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just the apostles. Whoever gathered was filled with the Holy Spirit. So yes, I believe there are folks, and there's a great argument about this, that the gifts died out with the apostles. There's an element of truth to that, but yet at the same time, it wasn't only the apostles that got filled with the Holy Spirit. We find people got filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? Exactly what happened with Peter. Exactly the same thing with Peter. Yes, we've emphasized dunks, 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 dunks. Unfortunately, there's been wacko stuff out there. But because it's strange, please do not dismiss it. Listen and research. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 5, 28, look at the way people behave that are not born again. Didn't we tell you never again to teach in this man's name? What man's name? That's a stupid statement. I want you guys never to mention Jesus' name ever again in this building. Sure. Didn't we tell you never again to teach in this man's name? He demanded. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem. Oh, really? How did that happen? After the day of Pentecost, they became bold. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death? Well, who else is? Although we do believe, we can't pinpoint it to them alone, because Jesus says, I lay down my life and I raise my life up. So it was all in Christ's authority and power. You want to make us responsible for his death? But Peter says, and I say, notice again, Peter, the big mouth Peter, the fisherman Peter. But Peter and the rest of the apostles replied, we must obey God. Whoa! Is that not what we should be doing now? Obeying God rather than man? Because man, at this point in time, is presenting to us something foreign that's not in the Word of God. The way we've got to operate, as I've told you before, as worldwide, but even here as a nation, we've been lied to, we've been deceived, we've been manipulated just by the fact that it's science. Sure. Sure. It has recently come out that this whole 6-foot distance is not scientific. It was just a made up number. I don't know where that number actually came from. Our Dr. Fauci. Okay. We must obey God rather than human authority. You and I am going to face this more and more in the years to come. And I'm asking you to stand firm on the word of God. I'm not saying create an insurrection. I'm not saying disobeying authority. But when authority does not meet up with the word of God, we take the stance, I must obey God rather than human authority. If it contradicts the word of God, I've got to go with the word of God. You will be classified as a rebel. And I want to assure you what's going on around the world that I've observed. The tracing of our movements, everything that you and I do does not go unnoticed. We are facing a period of time as we see the walls closing in slowly but surely, that we're going to lose the freedoms that we've enjoyed for so many years. Are we afraid of that? Nope. Are there hard times maybe ahead? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because this wheel is so big. And it's turning slowly but surely, slowly grinding its way to the point that you and I won't have much say but to comply. I will comply only as it lines up with the word of God. We must obey God rather than man. Let me give you two more scriptures. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 and 18. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Yeah, so what's wrong with that? This went on day after day until Paul got so what? Exasperated. Another big word. In our language, he got the hell in with us. He got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within this woman, "Oh, I thought demons are fake. You believe in demons? You cannot deny demonology. You cannot deny satanic forces. It may be strange and foreign, but it's real." And I'm amazed how many people I've come across that hear voices speaking to them. Medically, yeah, it could be. I was shocked at Bangor when we spent the day walking downtown and looking at the amount of homeless people on the riverside. People that are bombed out of their mind. People that are acting very strange. People that are not on this planet, but they're orbiting another planet. And yet they're humans that were created in the likeness and the image of God. And it seems to me, as I said at the outset of COVID, it seems to me that satanic forces have been released to infiltrate the globe. Because behavior patterns have changed. More so than I've ever seen in my life. More so than I've ever experienced in this country. The behavioral patterns of people have changed dramatically, where there's no more respect, where there's no more honor, where people are doing the most craziest things that you and I would never dream of, and it's become acceptable. We're changing rapidly. But the word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. One more scripture. Acts 17, verse 5 to 7. Remember the assignment. The assignment is not only to go and preach the gospel. The assignment is to lay hands upon the sick. The assignment is to drive out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, that sounds weird. Biblical. Biblical. Weird. Do I dismiss it or do I accept it? But some of the Jews were jealous. So they gathered some troublemakers from the marketplace to form a mob and start a riot. They attacked the home of Jason, searching for Paul, and of course Silas, so they could drag them out to the crowd. Not finding them there, they dragged out Jason and some of the other believers instead, and took them before the city council. Paul and Silas, notice this. Paul. Who's Paul? Saul? Did he have an experience with God? A one-to-one experience with God? Yeah. Did it change his life? Did it change his lifestyle? Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world. I wonder what kind of trouble it was. January 6th, maybe? I don't know. What kind of trouble? What were they doing? What trouble was this? Let me tell you, all they were doing is preaching the Bible. That's all they were doing. But you see, when you preach the light, it's contrary to darkness. Light and darkness don't go hand in hand. But we find darkness coming into the church. Because the church wants to compromise. The church wants to be with it. Oh, you better not go against the establishment. Oh, you better celebrate June month. Because the government says, and if you don't do it, you are sick in your head. Listen carefully. Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world, they shouted. And now they are what? It's about time we disturb our cities. Disturb the cities with the word of God. Disturb the cities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now they are here in our city too. They're disturbing our city. In other words, the status quo is no longer the status quo. But when Jesus comes in, the status quo has got to go. Amen. And now they are here disturbing our city too. And Jason, he's cahoots with us. And Jason has welcomed them into his home. Oh, poor Jason. Look at what they are guilty of. What are they guilty of? Treason. Treason against Caesar, because Caesar is the king, but they're promoting another king. So which king? Treason against Caesar. Notice what their argument is. You see, they see it from the perspective of the natural. They see it from the perspective of the human being. But they don't recognize, as Jesus explained to Nicodemus, that which is born physical is physical. Natural birth, physical. Treason against Caesar. So what is this treason? Explain to me. Well, for they profess allegiance to another king. What's the problem with that? Well, you've got to show allegiance to Caesar. Caesar comes and Caesar goes. Jesus is the same. But notice, they profess allegiance to another king. So they are aware of the fact that there's another king. And this is the king that you and I serve, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we profess and give our allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because kingdoms are raised and kingdoms are brought down, but the kingdom of God is forever and ever. So yes, sir, we profess allegiance to another king. All because of Jesus Christ and Pentecost. There was one common feature which marked the advent of these early Christian witnesses in every place. Notice this. There was one common feature which marked the advent of these early Christian witnesses in every place. Notice, there was a mighty spiritual impact upon the whole community. In some places there was a revival. In some places there was a riot. Quite often there was both together. We kind of need this. We kind of need it all over the world. We kind of need it in our towns. I'm asking you this morning to be faithful in serving God regardless of the circumstances. There will be trying times. There will be difficult times. But in the midst of the valley, we know we're not alone. But at the same time, open up to the idea of Pentecost. There was a mighty spiritual impact upon the whole community. I noticed this. But I also noticed that in today's life, within the Christian community, we want to be people pleasers. We want to be part of the society that enforces certain things upon us. Because we don't want to be isolated. The same way when we had these riots way back and everybody started putting those banners out, Black Lives Matter. Many people got caught up with that. Many people. I still see where the places I go. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives. We have got to a place now that we are instigating racism more than ever before. More than ever before. And that's why when the Christian stands up and he says, no, 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 all lives matter. Absolutely. Absolutely. All lives matter. We breathe the same air, my mate. Has there been ostracized? Absolutely. Is there a nation that is perfect? Nope. Is this a great nation? Yes, but declining quickly. Even our enemy admits that we're burning from the inside. Vladimir Putin made a statement last week. What does he know that we don't know? Made a statement that we're losing our freedom and we're burning from within. Wow. And he warned Europe about the same. And people are questioning, why Europe? What's going on over there? Well, there's a trend. There's a movement. And then, of course, they want to put us in a box. We've got to have this month and celebrate this month. Then we've got to celebrate this month. And then we've got to do the rainbow month. And then we've got to do this month. How about just praising God? And so we're isolating people. What about an Italian month? What about a Greek month? No, what about a South African month? Come on. So we ask ourselves then, who's actually in authority? Who's got the power? We've been deceived. We've got the power. We don't. You don't have the power. We the people. Don't believe that lie. We the people. You don't have much authority. I don't have much authority in the worldly system. But when it comes to the spiritual system, I've got authority. The worldly system can't lay hands upon the sick, but the child of God can. The worldly system can't drive out a demon, but the child of God can. And then again, I'm actually not of this world. You're not of this world. Don't live as if you're going to live here forever. You're just passing through. Because our citizenship is where? In heaven. So yes, I'm a pilgrim marching through. I'm a pilgrim moving through. But while I'm here, I'm going to have an impact. So let's go back to the day of Pentecost. It was strange. Some people dismissed it. Some people accepted it. Some that dismissed it eventually accepted it, and they started being part of the group that promoted the kingdom of God. So then, of course, we ask ourselves the question, and the great debate is it still available today? Is the boldness still available today? Is the speaking of other language still available? Oh, some high intellectuals will say no. But then there's high intellectuals that will say yes. And that's why we're in this conflict today. All I will submit to you today, don't dismiss it because it's strange. Because there's more within this body that has accepted it, and their life has changed in the sense of boldness for God. Incident, way back, person that I was speaking to years ago, particularly on this gifting, was saying, well, I don't know. I don't think I can accept it. I can't think I can believe in it. 20 years later, the person comes to me just about 6 months ago. Says, you know what? I said, know what? I got filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking other languages. I said, okay. But you dismissed it then. But now it's fine. All I'm saying, guys, be careful the way we were raised. Be careful of doctrines out there. God will never lead you and me astray. Never. Never. Love the Lord with all your heart. Don't dismiss strange and miss out, because God does strange things. The strangest thing is that He loves us. It's the strangest thing that He loves us. What do you and I deserve to be loved? What is man that you are mindful of Him, Lord? What is man? But yet you've made Him lower than the angels. Only for now. An interesting topic that you can look at is even that we will judge angels, not demons. Angels. So angels going to be judged one day? Oh, let's open a good conversation now. How are they going to be judged? I thought they've already been judged. And so we look at us as the living stones. We look at how God has used strange throughout the Word of God with impact. The day of Pentecost, so strange, but so impactful. All I ask you this morning is just to surrender. Lord, I don't know everything. You know everything. I'm going to submit my life to You. I'm going to serve You. And whatever You have in store for me, I want it. Because the Bible says all good things come from all good things. So if He's got some good things, have you and I received all the good things yet? No. You think there's more in store? Don't dismiss strange, because some of the things that may be in store may look strange. Don't dismiss it. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. Come, we pray together. Father, so